Welcome to the May 31st, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, All of Them. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. No. I have been gone for three Sundays. I know that you can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good. Glad to. It is good for me to be back on Sunday morning. First Sunday I missed. Very thankful for all the prayers that you offered up to my family and the recent death of my uncle. Very grateful for all that, all the kind words and encouragement that you provided to me and to Jennifer and our entire family. So I want to say thank you for that. We did have a great children's camp last week. When they get back and they're safe and they're happy and they learned a little bit about God, that is a good weekend. And so it was a great weekend last weekend. But we are glad to be here and ready for worship. We'd like to find out who is here. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to fill this out. If you could just take that out, write your name and appropriate information and check the right boxes, that would be great. We'd rather have your real name. Pen names, not very helpful. We know Elvis Presley is still alive, but we didn't know he was visiting College Park. So if you could help us out with that, that would be great. If you could send it down to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill it out, then we do ask that you send it back when it gets to the last person. If you send it back where it got started, that's very helpful for us. Members, this is your opportunity to find out somebody on your pew that you are not familiar with. Check out their name and introduce yourself at the end of the service. I want to recognize Miss Barbie. Come on.
Good morning. I'm going to tell you again about an opportunity to do some disaster relief in West Virginia. They had floods and mudslides, and we're going to spend a couple days helping them straighten out their houses. The nature of a disaster is that it happens when it happens, and you can't plan it for 3 months from now. We plan it for next week. So if you can take Thursday and or Friday off and go with our team on Thursday afternoon, and we have at least one person coming Friday afternoon, that's June 11th or 12th, we will plan to work on Friday and on Saturday and come back either Saturday night or Sunday afternoon, depending on what the team wants to do. And we'll just be cleaning mud out of people's houses. We're going to bless somebody who's had a disaster. We're going to give them some encouragement and hope. We're going to pray with them, and we're going to make a small difference for a family or maybe two, depending on what the jobs are. If you can do that, let me know, and I'll give you some instructions about what to do. I can see you after the service today, and I thank you very much. Please pray for our team. It'll be a small group, but it'll be a wonderful group, and I am very much looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, Barbie. Big Raj.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's my pleasure to be able to talk to you again about Mountain Outreach. I understand that my stand-in last week is trying to take over my job, and so I figured I better get back in here and represent myself. For those of you who don't know what Mountain Outreach is, it's a church-wide project where we go to Kentucky and build a house in 4 days and furnish it and come home. And we'll have about 100 to 130 people on the site this year. So if you can be a part of that, we need you to go ahead and sign up so we can make the proper reservations and so forth for you. For those of you who didn't get my birthday present, there's an opportunity still for you. You can make a donation to Mountain Outreach in my name for my birthday, and I'd appreciate it. That was last week, so think about that. If you hadn't gotten your Mother's Day present and your Father's Day present, for those of us fathers who have everything they need, you might want to consider making a donation to Mountain Outreach in their name. We are sitting at about $14,000 for our fund so far. Our goal is $26,000. So if you can be a part of that, we'd certainly need you to do so. We need two refrigerators, two chest of drawers, a stove, and any other items that you'd like to donate, please let us know. And by the way, somebody had offered to give a couch and a chair, and Barbie forgot who it was. So if you'll identify yourselves and tell us so we could be a part of the receiving of that. We have a display of the furniture that we have so far to go in the house down in Adult 4 set up. So if you'd like to go by and see that, we'd love to have you to do that. We leave in 4 weeks from today to go to Kentucky. So again, if you haven't signed up, we need you to go ahead and do that. And if you haven't signed up for items on the food list, Mary Nell and Alice would appreciate you doing that so we can do the planning we need. We're working on a tool bus already. Don's been over, been counting. So some of those of you who can't go to Kentucky with us, we'd like you to be a part of it by coming and helping us. If you'll contact me or Don Wilson, we've got plenty of work to do to get things ready. So if you'll come on and be a part of that, we'd certainly appreciate it. Any other items that you need to know or questions that you'd like to know about Mountain Outreach, if you'll see me, I'll be happy to answer them for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Big Raj. That is a big thing for our church that we do every summer. It is a powerful trip, and God shows up every year as we prepare and as we plan and as we put Mountain Outreach together. So we're excited about what's going to happen this year. And it's a flat lot. So we just signed up 10 more people. There you go. It's a flat lot, and you don't, in Kentucky, that is not easy to find. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. Minor about a couple things. Many of our announcements are listed in the bulletin under upcoming events and the schedule on the back page. Reminder, we are having Graduate Sunday next week. If you or anyone in your family is graduating from high school, college, or post-college institution, or any kind of institution like that, we want to recognize them next week. Let me know that information. I think I've got most everybody, but I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. So if you could get me that information this week, no later than Wednesday, that would be very helpful for us. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time today, right after the first hymn, hymn number 248. That would be very, very good. Reminder also, there, everybody if in front, in your pew, you should see one of these buff, I guess it's buff colored envelopes. This is our building fund envelope. And we are in the process of raising funds to renovate our education building, which will impact every area of our church, and especially our children's ministry. And what we're inviting us to do as we look at a capital campaign sometime in the future, we are doing what we can right now to raise funds for this. And I wonder if you were to give up now lunch, how many of you can eat lunch for $5? Unless you work at school, you can't really get lunch. $5, that's a good deal for a lunch if you can get it. If we were to give up a $5 lunch once a week, in a year, we could get around $250 that could go straight to our building fund. Now, if we did that among several of us, if all of us, 300 plus in sanctuary, were able to do that, how much money could we quickly raise just by giving up one meal out, one lunch out per week? It's not a lot of sacrifice for God to do something amazing here and for him to use you. So, and just something to think about, just to give a small sacrifice for the future. Our children are, they have excited about things that are going on in there, and we want to give them a facility that invites more children to come and families to come and to be a part of this. So we encourage you just to give, just a thought to giving up just a small thing. And what would that one small thing be per week that you could give and give straight to the fund? That would be very helpful for you to think about. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down. They have something they want to give to you. You've already given us your information. If you're a guest, you've put that on the pew pad a few minutes ago. But we invite you just to raise your hand if you're a guest with us. Ushers are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. Summer is upon us, and that means many exciting things here at College Park, many things that are happening, and we pray that God will bless you as you enjoy this hour of worship with us together. It is time for us to gather our hearts together and to seek God, to worship Him in spirit and truth. Let us prepare to do just that.
The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. The presence now is here, so very, very near. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place.
Will you pray with me? Our God, our Father, the Creator of all things, we don't spend enough time being still in this world. We don't spend enough time being quiet. Clear our minds. Clear my heart. May the Spirit that lives within me, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, may your Spirit have its way with me. In the quiet of this place, we can be honest. We can be honest about where we are in our relationship with you. We can be honest about the struggles that we've had. In this place, and at this time, we invite you to come, freely show up, speak straight to us. Because there's nothing in this world that can provide the answers that you provide. For every challenge, every problem, every question. And so we come to worship. We are still, we are quiet, and we are listening for you. In Christ's name, amen. want to invite all the children to come on down. We'll wait for you. Come on. Sit on down here. They're coming from everywhere. All right. We'll wait. We'll wait. Hey, hey, hey. Did y'all have a picnic this morning? I saw that picnic. Come on, y'all. Come in a little closer. A little closer. Not that close, Caleb. Okay. All right. Good job. Sit right there. I'm so glad. Hey, girls. I'm so glad that y'all are here this morning. All right. Now I have something. If you're really good, I might have one of these for you. What is this? It's an apple. Now, where do you get apples? Not the grocery store. Oh, from the apple tree. They don't grow at the grocery store? Oh, that's how it gets its name, apple tree. Okay, but does it start out like this?
No.
As a seed, but let me see. Oh, sorry about that. Let's see. Oh, it's a juicy apple. Oh, like a seed, like that. Just like that. But how? They're little, aren't they? There. It is a broken seed. There's the other part of it. I cut right through it. I was so strong. Look. You see? That. But how does this apple grow to be an apple from that little seed? So, it waters inside that seed. It has the power to take all the rain and all the nutrients and the sun and the dirt, and poof, you get an apple. Do you know what? That's exactly what happens when Jesus comes to live inside you. He sends the Holy Spirit. Just like this seed living inside this apple that helped make it grow into this apple, when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and comes inside of me and helps us to become exactly what God wanted you to be. To show love and to show joy and peace and patience and to be just like you are. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me. He lives deep down inside. And if we listen, He will teach us how to become exactly who God wants us to be. How to treat one another. How to talk to mommy. How to treat our family and our friends. How to talk to our teachers. How to play nicely with our friends. How to do the right thing. That's what the Holy Spirit does when He speaks to us from way down deep inside. So the next time when I give you these apples at the end of the service, I'm going to give you some apples. And when you eat it and you see those seeds inside, I want you to remember the Holy Spirit is where? Inside of where?
You.
Inside of you. That's right. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for this day and the gift of Your Holy Spirit. And God, just like we saw in this apple and we see the seed that's inside, we know that You live inside of us. And that we know that if we listen to You when You speak, that amazing things will happen. Help us to do that, we pray every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come see me after. I'll get you an apple, okay? I'd see that.
This is a celebration of the second decade of College Park. Today is our second decade's service, and we were going to have one a month as we look forward to the celebration of our 60th anniversary in the fall. to remember some of those times and some of those moments. We've asked people along the way to share some of their memories. You see listed in your order of service that Jack Hull was scheduled to speak this morning. Unfortunately, Jack is not feeling well this morning and is unable to be with us, so we'll catch up with him on a later decade and hear from him then. But this morning we are focused around 1959 to 1969, and so some of the thoughts and reflections will come from that period. Filling in today for Jack Hull is Bill Page, and I've asked Bill if he would come and share maybe one of his favorite memories or favorite stories that occurred during that 1959-1969 era.
Don't ever answer the phone on Sunday morning. One of the fondest memories I have of College Park Church, and it's nice to be considered old enough to participate in a history moment, you know. I'm not as old as I look, honestly. But one of my favorite moments every year at College Park was Vacation Bible School. We look forward to it. We look forward to the end of school. We look forward to the opening of Crystal Lake. And we look forward to Vacation Bible School. The church wasn't quite as big as it is now. Everybody knew everybody by name. I can't remember my kids' names right now. So. But it was just a fun time. And the thing that I remember most about Vacation Bible School at College Park, and if you've been around me much, you've probably heard this story, but they used to always bring a fire truck from Mount Tabor Fire Department. And the fire truck would lead the parade. And what we would do is the fire truck would park over here on Wake Drive. The cars would line up behind it. That was before you had to have seat belts and be restrained. So the fire truck would lead the parade, and we would take off down Polo Road as far as we could go and turn around and come back. We would go down the roads that branched off of Polo Road with the fire truck running its siren and blowing its horn, and with the kids leaning as far out of the windows as they could, yelling, "Come to College Park Vacation Bible School." And that, you know, I don't know why, but that was just one of the things that I always remember about College Park. So that's my history moment, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell you about it. I do want to mention, if you have any questions, now Irv Grogan and Lawrence Hudspeth may be too old to remember this. I don't know. Maybe not. But Sheila Harris Vogler, Molly Rawls, and Mike Thornton, they all remember it. So thank you very much.
Oh my, good memories. In addition to being a celebration of the second decade in the life of College Park, this is also Pentecost Sunday. As you look through the church calendar year, this is Pentecost Sunday, and Jeff has already kind of alluded to that in speaking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works within us. We wanted to read the passage that is typically associated with Pentecost Sunday. It's from Acts chapter 2. It is an accounting of the Holy Spirit being sent. Jesus, if you'll recall, in John chapter 14, talked about the sending of the Holy Spirit, how one would be sent to walk beside us, to comfort and to give us strength. And this is when it occurred in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, I'll be reading verse 1 through 21. "And when the day of Pentecost came, They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Well, they've had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's pray together. Gracious and all-powerful God, we come to you as your children, seeking to know you better. As we read from your word, we see where you sent your Holy Spirit to give us strength, to give us guidance, to help us to prophesy, help us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and the saving knowledge of Christ to all the nations, to speak the language that needs to be spoken to the people that can understand and will hear. So, Father, as your children now, we ask for your strength, that we would be able to learn. We ask for your courage so that we would be able to tell. We ask for your wisdom so that we'll know in what manner to tell. Father, help us not to get distracted. We know that we have so many things that easily distract us. We have our physical health. We have family issues. We have cultural things. We have economic reasons. We have all the excuses that we want to make, and they're readily available, but help us not to get distracted. Help us to trust you so explicitly and to trust your peace that comes on us as we test you and try you and find you, your grace to be sufficient for any and everything that we need. Father, as we worship together and as we learn together, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would encourage us. We pray that as we walk side by side with fellow believers, that we would recognize that your Spirit walks with us as well. Father, now as we continue in worship, we pray that your Spirit would be free to move among this place. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to ask Kate Thomas if she would come now and share with us some of her recollections from 1959 to 1969.
Well, Bill just shared with us about Bible school and all the fun that went on there. And as I recall, on a cold, snowy winter Wednesday night, In 1959, our family was enjoying the wood fire and the roasting of marshmallows when there was a knock on the door. And my husband Ben answered the door, and there stood a gentleman dressed fit for the weather with a Bible in his hands. And he was inviting us to attend the College Park Baptist Church. And we will always be grateful for Mr. Linton Keith's visit. We attended the next Sunday and shortly thereafter joined the church in 1960. I know all of you have stories to share about the love and the concern of the people who make up this church. And those that reach out with concern for community and local and foreign missions. From 1964 to 75, my late husband suffered 9 heart attacks and 2 open heart surgeries. It was during these times that the church stood by with prayer, visits, cards, and support in any way that they could. Not only the first attack, but each time hospitalized, there was more support and encouragement. Times were hard, but God's people helped us through. Our 3 sons grew up in this church and accepted God at an early age. We attended the new sanctuary dedication on April the 24th, 1960. This was truly a big day for our church. The prayers as we entered this building in the Spirit of the Lord with grateful appreciation to Him for having led us to this important day. On March the 23rd, 1966, work began on the steeple for the sanctuary, and many of the church members watched the process and touched the top of the steeple. And it is 62 feet tall, made of Reynolds aluminum foil. The church grew and the educational building was necessary. In 1963, a long-range planning committee was appointed, and 3 years later, on November the 20th, 1966, the educational building was dedicated. For some time, the church has considered buying a church bus for group transportation. And on October 1967, a red and white 1954 Ford bus became available. And it was purchased for $300. Through Ben's illness, lengthy illness, he was called home on December the 28th, 1975. Here again, the Lord sustained us and strengthened us through the church. With 60 years service to the Lord, may our church continue to be directed by God in doing the work to glorify Him.
We are God's.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time to praise, worship, and give you thanks for all the blessings that you bestow on us every day. Lord, as we begin this symbolic start to our summer and try to slow down, relax, and enjoy some time away from work and school, let us not forget to maintain our focus on you and realize that you are always attentive to our needs. Father, thank you for our children. Watch over them, protect them, and most importantly, allow them to feel your love in their hearts. Father, thank you for your Son and all the sacrifices he made. In these days of uncertainty and challenging circumstances, let us remember Jesus' comforting words. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. By worrying, he cannot add a single hour to his life. Since you cannot do this, why worry about the rest? As we come to give back a portion of all that we have, I ask that you will bless these gifts and allow them to work according to your will. All these things I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I wish you could have a chance to sit up here and hear that sound come from behind you. It is, Mike, thank you, choir. Beautiful. It really is. And for those of you that don't like good singing, you're going to feel really out of place for eternity in heaven. So you might as well get used to it because it's going to be good singing. Three Sundays ago, I was preaching a message from 1 John chapter 3. It was Mother's Day. And I was talking about God's perfected love. And point number one on my outline was perfected love is God's gift to us. And as I was concluding that point, we had a mother and her children who got up and left. And although generally those kind of occurrences, they really don't bother me. They really don't distract me. People have asked me, does it bother you? And it generally doesn't. But on this particular day, I don't know, maybe because it was Mother's Day and I saw a mother and her children, I thought, you know, something's wrong here, which turns out there was a medical reason why they needed to leave. Okay, but honestly, you know, it was kind of one of those situations where you have two emotions, and I don't know which one came into play. I've struggled with it a little bit, trying to be honest with myself. The first one was, you know, I had a pretty good sermon going here, and then y'all go, you know, you're breaking the whole flow of this thing. Come on, people. You know, that was kind of part, but on the other side was equally a concern. It is Mother's Day. There's something wrong here. And I should be concerned about that. And I have asked that mother, I confessed part of those feelings to her and said, I need your forgiveness because, you know, it probably wasn't appropriate for me to think, why do you do it? What are you doing? And she forgave me, but I want you to understand that from that point on, point two and three was a struggle because there was a lot of things going on in my head at one time. You know, part of me was feeling guilty for the fact, why did you even think that? I mean, you know, she's obviously got a medical issue she needs to take care of. And why are you getting upset with her? The other part of me is saying, well, you know, maybe there's something wrong. I should be concerned about that. Maybe I wonder what it is. And all of this is going on in my head while I'm trying to organize my thoughts and finish a sermon. So I was exhausted when I got done. Matter of fact, a couple of you commented at the end of the service on the fact that I was perspiring. We say that when people have on suits, it's sweating otherwise. But, you know, they commented that I was perspiring and asked if I was feeling okay. And the truth of the matter is, you know, it was a lot of stuff that was going on in my head. You know, and there was also a frustration that was going on in my head. And the frustration was the fact that in institutional church, as we've come to know it, it would have been terribly awkward for me to stop the sermon and inquire, is everything okay? But by the time I got to lunch, I had been convicted that's probably exactly what I should have done. But what stopped me from doing that? I was preaching on perfected love, for heaven's sakes, and I didn't feel the freedom to stop everything and make sure there was nothing wrong. Isn't that kind of ironic? I sit there at lunch going, gee whiz, what's wrong with me? Well, point two of that sermon was that perfected love does not fear. And I think the truth is, as I thought about this and kind of evaluated, you know, the truth is, I think we do fear. I think we fear all the time. I think we're fearful from the time that we come into that door. And I think we're fearful that the people beside us in church are going to realize, I'm not okay. You know, the book said in the 80s, I'm okay, you're okay. The truth is, we're not okay. And we come into this place and sometimes we're hurting and we're afraid to show our fear. Or we're afraid to show who we really are in our struggles because we're afraid the person beside us in the pew is going to think, well, they're just not as Christ-like as I am. That's their problem. You know, so as a result of that, we're afraid to be vulnerable in church. We're afraid to open up. We're afraid to stop sermons to care for one another. And that's a tragedy. And because of this and a lot of other factors, I'm convicted that Christ is disappointed with what the church has become today. And I also feel like that's the reason we've lost the power to impact our culture. So what do we do? You say, okay, Raymond, that's pretty depressing. Now what? So what do we do about this? Well, I think maybe we need to go back to point three of that same sermon 3 weeks ago. And that was perfected love builds community. And my text for that point was from 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Hear it again. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. Hear this. This is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. And as I read back, and thank you, Kate. Beautiful job this morning. Bill, thank you, buddy. Just as I read back in the history of College Park Baptist Church, I was struck by the love, the community, the support, the encouragement that the church enjoyed during that time. Now, I fully believe we experience the same today. Don't get me wrong. I fully believe we enjoy that same kind of community and that same kind of support and encouragement. But I'm also convinced that if we depended more on the power of the Holy Spirit, we could move closer to that perfected love, the perfected love in community that John wrote about. You know, at the time that John wrote his letters, I believe that the believers, the church gathered together, assumed something that we've forgotten. They assumed the power of the Holy Spirit for every believer. They assumed that, and we've forgotten that. And this is Pentecost Sunday, so it's appropriate that we try to refocus and revisit it. Because as the Holy Spirit was sent, there's an important point here. That God shows no partiality. Hear that. Understand that completely. God shows no partiality. The very first verse of Acts chapter 2, it makes it very clear that the community of believers were gathered together. We know from Acts chapter 1, verse 15, there were about 120 people, give or take a few. About 120 people, they were all gathered in one place. It goes on to tell us about the sound, like the mighty rushing wind that came in. And there were tongues of fire that came and rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. Look again, if you don't believe me, look again in verse 3 and 4. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I don't want to belabor the point, but let me say it again. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just the 12, not just the men, not just the ones who were best behaved or best dressed, best liked, all of them. Now, imagine with me for a moment what this congregation would be like if all of a sudden there was a sound of rushing wind and tongues of, like little tongues of fire came and were dancing on all of our heads, over all of us, every single one of us, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in a different language. All of us. Now, I wonder how many would immediately be quiet because we didn't want to attract attention to ourselves or because we understood, well, that's not the way nice people behave in church. How many of us would raise our voice to drown out the person beside us because they were under, you know, we can't understand them, so we're just going to drown them out. How many of us would take the children and try to quiet them? Because I don't know if you've ever wondered, but what is toddler chatter? Has it ever occurred to you it may be? We used to tease, talk about it as the angels talking. Maybe it is. I don't know. How many of us would begin to wonder what paragraph in the bylaws addresses such behavior? And if there's not one, we start drafting one in our mind. How many of us would be looking around wondering, what in the world are the visitors going to be thinking? Yeah. Well, the message for us today is that God shows no partiality. And that all of us, children, youth, men, women, every single one of us are sitting in the midst of the Holy Spirit. If you are a receptive vessel, you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you can hear it. It may help you if you close your eyes. I don't know what it sounds like to you. It may be a hum. Maybe a sigh. It might be a whisper. It might be a roar. It may be a shout. It may be a call. I don't know what it sounds like, but the Holy Spirit is resting on you. Now, what's He saying to you? What's He singing to you? What is He inviting you to say or to sing to the rest of the world? Yeah, you. What is he inviting you to say or sing to the rest of the world? My experience is that 95% of people, Christians, have a tough time with this. We really have a tough time with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and what all this means and are we really being entrusted with a message that's unique to deliver to the world? And I believe we are. Each of us has a message that's unique for us. You have a message the Holy Spirit has placed on you to deliver to the world. The person beside you in the pew, they have a message that's unique. And all of them are different. Now, at the core of every message is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But the circumstances and the way it's conveyed, the language it's conveyed, they're all different. That means that there is no one else to speak the particular message that's entrusted to you. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. And if you don't tell the story how God is singing in your heart, who's going to tell it? And what's going to happen to the person, you know, that needs to hear your story? That needs to, how God has touched your life? Because they're depending on that to find out how to be healed of their deep despair, or to be comforted in grief, or encouraged in adversity, or to be loved in loneliness, or to be trusted in times of self-doubt, or to be challenged in a time when there's self-delusion. They need to hear your message. And there are a host of people that are gathering, you know, just as they did 2,000 years ago, there were people from all over that were gathered in that place. And they were right outside the doors of the upper room. They were in the streets. They were in the taverns. They were in the shops. And they came from many different cultures, traditions, and languages. And each of them heard the believers speaking in a language he or she could hear and could understand. And I would argue that in exactly the same way, there are a host of people today in banks, in shopping malls, in video arcades, in schools, yes, even in bars. And there are people under bridges. There are people that are standing on street corners. They're gathered at water coolers at work. And they need to hear the story about hope and vision and joy and justice. And they need to hear it in a language they can understand. You know what this means? We have to leave the theological jargon right here in this place. Because truth be known, the people out there don't understand it or don't care. I would argue that many of us really don't understand it either, but that's beside the point. The truth is, they don't understand it. They don't care. They don't need to hear it. The bottom line is, we're going to be speaking a language to them that they can understand. We have to understand the vernacular. Yes, believe it or not, God understands slang. He knows what it means. And He can use that. He can use the vernacular to speak to people. We are called to do that. In fact, we may be speaking a language that actually isn't words at all. It may be more like a divine form of charades where there's an enactment of what Jesus taught. Rather than yapping so much about it, we actually live it out. It's been said, be a bold witness and use words if necessary. A lot of strength there. You see, the Holy Spirit may be empowering us to speak a casserole in a soup kitchen. Or perhaps an invitation to a homeless person to drink a cup of coffee with us in McDonald's. The Holy Spirit may be calling us to speak the coat right off our back to someone who needs it. Not the one that's in the mothballs down in the basement that we plan on giving later. The one that's on our back. The Holy Spirit may be empowering you to speak a week spent in Kentucky, helping us build a house, investing in hope in a family. We may be called to speak a visit to a shut-in who desperately needs encouragement. You may be called to speak in silent presence. You may be called to speak in words. You may be called to speak in deeds. But whoever you are, the Holy Spirit is calling you. All of us. He's filling us with a prophecy for the nations, just as Peter declared. You're being commissioned to share a prophecy to a bewildered world. Some will hear, some will be amazed, some will be perplexed, and some, just like 2,000 years ago, will sneer at what you have to say and do. But given the fact that none of us knows when our last chance will be to pass on the message we've been given, I encourage you to share it today. I encourage you to share it tomorrow, every day this week, without partiality. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to hear your word and to learn. Father, we pray that as we look in our own hearts and begin to listen intently to your voice, we pray that you would give us the courage to act. Father, we know that you love us. We know the nature of the sacrifice of your Son. We know that you're an all-powerful, all-knowing God. Now help us to know the strength and the guidance that comes from the Holy Spirit daily as we walk with you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We found it very appropriate that one of the favorite songs of College Park Baptist Church in the 60s was a song called Sweet, Sweet Spirit. We found it appropriate and ironic because this is Pentecost Sunday, and here we are singing Sweet, Sweet Spirit, which was one of the favorite songs. But as we stand in just a minute and sing that song, number one, I hope that you will really sing the words and understand and make that a prayer of commitment. And number two, I pray that if you need to make a decision this morning, that you would feel the urging of the Holy Spirit, that you would feel the freedom of this congregation, the love of this fellowship to come and make that decision public. You know, if you're not a believer, we want you to know what we know about Jesus Christ and the strength and what he gives us each step of every day. We want you to know that. So come and I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, maybe you've been living under your own strength instead of the strength of the Holy Spirit. Settle that today. Completely surrender to God and let him begin to show you what living in the Spirit really means. The altar will be here. If you want to come here and pray, or you can certainly pray where you are. If you're here and you would like to be a part of College Park, we believe it's the best congregation ever. In spite of our faults, we still believe it's the best congregation. We would invite you to come and be glad to share with you ways that you can become a part of this fellowship. Whatever your decision is, though, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for this day, a time of celebration, a time of worship. Father, we pray that as we leave this place, we will have been changed by our encounter with you, and that our lives will reflect that. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.